Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today as we uncover all the benefits of the cross.
We have the benefit of our genuine faith where we have all of these things that have been given to us in the cross. We have the genuine faith that we can rest on the three S's. Sins are taken care of, sin is taken care of, and Satan is taken care of. But then we also have the benefit of a glorious future. In the new resurrected life, we don't have to wait until we go to heaven to have the capacity to live in resurrected life. Okay. That has been secured for us.
We do want to talk about the cross, and we want to inspire you to recognize the blessing that the cross of Christ brings into our lives.
He's given us the perfect gift, and we have found so many substitutes for the perfect gift. The world system has told us that things are the ultimate, and the Lord has told us that spiritual life being lived abundantly is the best gift that He could give. That most of us, Sharon, have missed the abundance of His gifts that He's given us at the cross.
Well, Janie, with the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, at that moment, we all have an opportunity to be grafted in.
Yeah.
That's just amazing to me that we can be grafted into His family, His kinship.
And enjoy all the benefits of being a grafted in, adopted child forever and ever. That just shows the love of God. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul goes in and says, well, what if he hadn't been raised? Several places in the New Testament, there was heresies or false facts, as we call them nowadays, being spread amongst the churches that, number one, the resurrection had already taken place, or that there was no resurrection, and the saints were troubled. And so Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians 15, and we need to address that. But before we address that, I do want to say that the cross is the greatest display of love that ever has been or ever will be. Jesus Christ went to the cross voluntarily.
Yes.
Nobody forced Him up there. He went there with a heart that was willing and yet deeply in anguish. And people nullify getting a lot of discussion about the cross, as I have heard in contemporary times, because it's so bloody, it's so nasty. I don't know if you saw that one movie that portrayed what was happening to the Lord Jesus in His body. And it was pretty gory to see.
Right.
But then, Sharon, don't you feel, and a feeling statement, but don't you feel and think a heaviness when you know that you've erred, even if it was not with a purposeful intent, but it was just, okay?
Oh, yes.
My mind cannot comprehend what it must have been to have felt that heavy cloud of thickness and dankness of Him taking on sin on His body to pay for that. I don't know that we would ever be able to comprehend that.
Yeah.
And yet I know throughout eternity, even with His resurrected body, the nail prints will be there. You and I can go see those hands and see those feet and be reminded of what that obtained for us, to be in the family.
And He took our place on that cross.
Yes. And then in the agony that you and I are talking about, was able to be other focused. He was still telling John, care for my mother now that I'm going to be gone.
And then there was a debate going on with the other two people on the cross. One of them was hardened and said, why do you think he's going to help you, to the other repentant sinner that was hanging there? And he just said, King of Jews, I repent. I seek forgiveness. And the Lord said, today you will be with me in paradise.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes. Now, let's do a little comparison
on
1 Corinthians 15. And I do want to say at the beginning, everything that I'm going to say in the next few minutes is Paul's summation on the big word if. If Jesus Christ had not risen from the grave, from that tomb, here's where you and I would be today. He died in vain, so that hope we just spoke about went out the door. He lied because he said he was going to come back and be resurrected. So now we have a liar that we would be serving. He would have no power to save if he didn't come back. He'd be with all the other dead men that started a movement that cannot help us out. Our woman-to-woman would be absolutely a waste of time. You and I might as well go out and just have a great lunch, because we would all be going to hell and everything we're saying here would just be nonsense. And by the way, that's the way the atheist thinks about us today.
But really, Janie, I mean, we couldn't have a great lunch because we would be miserable.
We'd be living for the moment. But that's because we know differently. But for the blinded, remember the Bible says that the God of this world, not the God of eternity, but the God of this world who has temporary squatter's rights, has blinded
the eyes.
So you and I would be consumed with what was on the menu.
And what our heart's desire was.
Yes, and right. We would be looking for some sort of entertainment to pacify our time.
And this is why you're my mentor, Janie.
Well, we bless one another there. You call me up short, I can get a look on your face and go, okay, I better think about that one. So praise God that he uses all things to work together for his good. But let me continue, because it gets worse. If he had not risen from the grave, our faith would be foolish. Why even open a Bible? Why witness? Why try to make a better life? Why be loyal to your husband or your spouse? Why not get mad when something bugs you? I told a little one the other night, they were talking about, they made me so mad. And I said, did you know that it's impossible for another person to make you mad? And their eyes got really wide. And I said, the only thing that person can do is make you show what's already in your heart. Mm. They're a tool that reveals the madness and the anger that you already have hid down there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Lord says, because they were memorizing the verse in Psalms 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so that was a whole new concept, that they had it hidden down there and they needed to deal with it. Well, another thing would be, instead of looking across at a saint today, I'd be looking across at a liar, because your testimony would be false. In fact, I could even say, Sharon, you're mentally deranged to think that we have any hope if he didn't rise from the dead. We're all lost in our sins, Romans 10:9. And a tragedy. So many of us have lost loved ones, parents, spouse, children ahead of time. They say one of the greatest griefs is for a parent to lose a child. Mm. You expect yourself to go before the child does.
Right.
And we would never be able to see our loved ones again. But there's that three-letter word. Mm-hmm. But God did raise Christ from the dead. And then in another portion of Scripture, Christ said he brought himself forth from the tomb. And the Holy Spirit takes credit in being a part of that. So the Trinity was all at work, three in mm-hmm. one, bringing Jesus Christ out of that grave into new life. So your preaching and your mentoring is not in vain. Your life is not in vain. There's also some neat things that happened because we are in the family of God. And so many times, God is addressed as our Father in the Scriptures. There's that family relationship. Now, for some people, family may not be a big deal because their family is such havoc, they would like to get away from their family. Mm-hmm. But we all are in need of love from one another. God says He's put eternity in our hearts. That means we're never going to be satisfied totally. This is in Ecclesiastes. We're never going to be satisfied totally until we have the relationship of family that God has planned before the foundations of the world. And He did plan family. And He did say, Father God. So, what can our Father God offer us? Well, He's prosperous. Isaiah 50, 10 through 12 says He owns everything. Now, I'm not personally into claiming everything and saying that we're living mm-hmm. just for the material things that mm-hmm. He can provide.
Right.
But He owns everything. He owns the air that we breathe. He owns our bodies. And so we learn a new level of trust in our older generation as the body fails us. We still know that He owns it and He knows what's going on. And He either gives the grace to endure while He still is teaching us things that we don't understand, or He does give the right, I'm going to use the word formula, probably not the best word, so that we can find how to deal with certain symptoms that will then give us the restored health, whether it's in the physical body or in our emotional being. He's generous, not like a Rockefeller or somebody like that, but He has given us everything. He says everything that pertains to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1, I believe it is. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. It didn't say everything that pertains to your temporal comfort mm-hmm. or your temporal security. We do have to read the Scriptures in the light that it was written. If we give it our own interpretation, we can get very discouraged mm-hmm. because the Bible tells us that we have been called to suffer. Maybe not 24/7, maybe not forever, but there will be seasons where things will be tough. That was confirmed in last week's lesson in Corinthians. And then He's powerful. You know, people who have oodles of money still seek power. It's something that they want. Mm-hmm. But the Lord Jesus doesn't need power because He is power. God the Father is power. He controls everything. So we have the benefit of our genuine faith, where we have all of these things that have been given to us in the cross and that were made real. We have the genuine faith that we can rest on the three S's. Sins are taken care of, sin is taken care of, and Satan is taken care of. But then we also have the benefit of a glorious future. In the new resurrected life, that we receive resurrected life. We don't have to wait until we go to heaven to have the capacity to live in resurrected life. Okay. That has been secured for us. And by the way, that is considered the normal Christian life. Galatians 2:20 is the normal Christian life. We sometimes read that wrongly, but it is the normal path that we should be living in. And then with the resurrected life, we got a new identity. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we got a new heart. We are made new creatures. Mm-hmm. But then going back to say what got taken care of at the cross, the old man, the sin, Satan, but we also got released from guilt. So we really need to guard when mm-hmm. we hear our thinker thinking thoughts of guilt.
Yes.
We got relieved from the effects of the world. We can be in this world, but not of this world. That's mm-hmm. why he says we are more than conquerors. That's why he says we are overcomers. Not that there's not the hardships and the battles and the perplexities mm-hmm. and things too great for us sometimes to be able to stand. God says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 10:13, that he won't give us more than what we can bear. Well, I've heard people say, I've passed my quota on that. That scripture is not truth.
Right.
But it says he will make a way of mm-hmm. to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with the logic. We do get more than we can bear. But not if we are bearing it in him.
In him. Right.
In Christ. Okay?
Right.
And I gave the kids an illustration the other night. I took the Bible and I said, here is Jesus. Here's his printed word. Here's his love letter. And then I took a card and I said, here's you. And I stuck it in the Bible. And then I slammed the Bible shut. And then I started walking. And I said, okay, Jesus is going over here. Where are you going? Oh, well, we're in the Bible. We're going with him. Oh, okay. Well, now you're going to go over here. Where's Jesus going? Oh, well, he's going with us because we're in him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So in Christ is through him, by him, to him, in him, all little prepositions that mean theology alive that can change the way we live and the way we walk. So again, we are delivered from guilt. We're delivered from the world if we choose to walk according to the path that he has designated for us. We're also, and this one is a toughie, we are delivered from the flesh. But I tell you what, I have to live mm-hmm. in the prison epistles mm-hmm. of Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Galatians. I have to live there daily to be reminded that I do have the choice.
Right.
All right. So we have that freedom to be from the flesh. Then we are delivered from legalism. Most people know we're delivered from the law. And that the law that we have today is the law of love. But we still live in our legalistic traditions mm-hmm. and our old ideas of performances. Mm-hmm. I must perform.
Mm-hmm.
PBA, performance-based acceptance.
Right.
For God to be happy with me. Well, God is joyous with me because of who I am in. Mm-hmm. I'm in his beloved,
right.
and he is in me. And then we've delivered from the enemy. We won't be totally in that enjoyment until he's cast into the lake of fire. I think about the millennial, and there's different teachings on the millennium, but our belief is that there will be a literal millennial, a thousand-year reign. But at the end of that reign, the enemy is going to be set free for his last rebellion. And we will have to go through things that you and I probably can't understand, but we will be in resurrected life before he is then finally judged and cast away forever and ever in the lake of fire. There's different teachings on the rapture, and we're not going to go there today, whether it's pre, mid, trib, all what have you. But the scriptures do tell us in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, that there's going to be a time when the Lord is going to sound the trump and he is going to come for his bride.
Right.
And the dead in Christ will rise first, and those which we are alive and remain will meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he also tells us that he's preparing a place. Every woman loves to decorate. I don't know if the Lord's going to have any problem with us wanting to decorate our own eternal home that he has given us. But he does say in John 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. And John 13 through 17 is what the Lord's mentoring heart wanted to give his disciples the night before the cross was established. If you want to see where his heart is, go read John 13 through chapters through 17. And in John 14, he says, now, these things are going to happen, and you're not going to really understand them all. Mm-hmm. But let not your heart be troubled. And then the very next word is believe. Believe. So what's the cure for a troubled heart? Believing. Believe in God. Believe in me. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he is going to give us a new body. Now, you're still young enough that you're probably enjoying yours.
No.
But I'm looking forward to a body that does not have chronic pain, that is new, that you can bend your knees in worship to Almighty God. And go ahead.
You know, a few weeks, that just reminded me, a few weeks ago, we had Dr. Al Reichman here.
Beautiful man.
Yes. And one of the stories that he told was, you know, that very thing is when we talk about the resurrection, we talk about, you know, being excited about getting out of these hurting bodies and out of this old mean world. But a few of us think about the resurrection as being that, God, I just want to be with you.
Yes.
Eternally, forever and ever. And so when we talk about resurrection, you know, let's really think about how we are interpreting that. I'm sorry, not resurrection, the rapture. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The taking up and going to be with the Lord forever. You know, just readjusting our perspective on that, because our Christian culture can get into so many different aspects of, you know, what's acceptable and what's thought of as, you know, getting out of these old bodies and getting out of this old world, and being more about getting close and intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, and people eternity. Who have not started to look into what it means to worship him. Mm-hmm. Some people still have the foolish rendition of being on clouds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we need to know that if he thinks he's got us active here in preparation for the preparing of the house and eternity, then we are not going to be sitting around in idleness. But to the degree that we have learned to love him here will be where we will begin to love him there. I believe our love will grow throughout eternity. Mm-hmm. But we need to know his love now. That's why he gave us a new commandment. We are to love him and love one another. Now, what about the benefits? So let me, from the scriptures, read you a couple of the eternal benefits. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that no longer should we live the rest of the time in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. Now, do we have time for Matthew 10:30?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's get it.
He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. It's only once through the truth that we can really do good works and to serve him. And the whole goal of this is that we can know him. John 17:3, where the Lord Jesus said, Father, that they would know one another the way we know one another. So in concluding, we have a conqueror that gives us life, hope, eternity, and we should walk by faith in believing that.
Amen. Well, Janie, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.